Good morning. A little loud. We happy to be here this morning? Wonderful worship this morning. What wonderful couple of words to hear. Well done. Well done. Listen to me, church. I love to tie worship in to the message just a little bit because listen to me, we are almost home. There'll be a day where you get to stand before the Father. And I hope and I pray that when you stand before Him, He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." What an amazing thing to get to hear from the Father, the one that saved your life. Listen to me, church. I'm filled with amazement in our Savior, Jesus Christ. That He would save a person like me. And I probably, you would say the same thing. Wow, I am so filled with amazement. Wow, is He so loving and gracious to us. Compassionate in so many ways, in ways we never deserved, but wow, is He compassionate and loving. The Savior of the world. That is Jesus Christ. Church, listen to me. There is no one better than Jesus Christ. No one better to put your hope and your faith and your trust in than Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You will never be led astray when you follow Jesus Christ. You won't. You'll be in the best place you could ever be if you follow Jesus Christ. That's the only way to heaven, church. The Son, Jesus Christ. I want to remind us of that today, this morning, because listen to me, many people have forgotten hope. Forgotten the blessed, the living hope. His name is Jesus Christ, church. Don't let the world convince you there's some other way to get to heaven. There's some other way to get to the Father. You only get to the Father through Jesus Christ. This is why we're here. We're Christians. We're Christ followers. But listen to me, there's many Christians today not living as they're following Christ. That's important. How can you call yourself a Christian if you do not follow Christ? That's a hard thing to hear, church. But it is super important because there's no one better to serve than Jesus Christ. There's no one better to follow than Jesus Christ. We're going to be in Romans chapter 13. We're going to be in a couple different places this morning. But you know how I love to start service off with a psalm. So I'm going to do it. Psalms 86. Listen closely, church. "Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All nations have made will come to worship before the Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord, my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." Amen, church. Has He delivered you from the realm of the dead? Amen. Glorify His name. Praise His name. There is no one like God. There are no gods like God. There is no one like Him, church. There's no one like Him. Listen to me closely. I once heard a pastor say this. It's powerful. We're all beggars looking for bread. And listen to me, church. We found the bread of life. We're all beggars looking for bread, and we found the bread of life. We will never go hungry anymore. We have everlasting bread. Living water. We'll never thirst anymore. You could go hungry. You could be thirsty here on this earth, but if you have Jesus Christ, you'll never go hungry or thirst anymore. We've found the bread of life. His name is Jesus Christ, church. Trust in the bread of life. Trust in the one who saved you from the realm of the dead. Do you know that? Do you know that you are once destined for death. But because of Jesus Christ, we have everlasting life. That's the beauty of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We're saved. Saved from sin, saved from death. We're saved. Rejoice, church. Be glad. And know that the Lord is good. You hear me, church? Church, we all need maintenance in our life. We all need maintenance in our life. Look at this building. This building needs a lot of maintenance. This is why we're doing the building campaign. I thought maybe instead of doing a message, we all would pick up some spackling and some mud and we would hit those spots up there. And when Jimmy gets back, it'd be all done. But I don't think y'all want to do that. Church, we all need maintenance in our life. Your car needs maintenance, right? You not take your vehicles in for an oil change? Some of you probably don't. I've been guilty of not doing that on a regular basis, but I've changed oil of cars that have not had oil changes ever, and listen to me, you probably should get an oil change. You need an oil change for your car, and listen to me, your houses need maintenance. If you never maintained your house, when we had our house in Fort Wayne, I let those gutters fill up with leaves and mud, and it wasn't very good. Right? You mow your lawns. You wash your house. Some of you probably do. I know we all don't do the same type of maintenance. Phil Fisher will get out there with a pair of scissors and he'll cut grass all day when you guys get some. We all need maintenance in our life. But listen to me, most importantly, our Christian life needs maintenance. If you don't maintenance your Christian life, listen to me, you're not going to have a good walk with God. If you're not maintaining your Christian walk, you're not going to have a good walk. It becomes rusty. When troubles happen in your life, listen to me, you're much more likely to be broken because of them. When you don't routinely have maintenance in your Christian walk, and listen to me, see, there are many Christians today who have never done maintenance on their Christian walk. They've never done an oil change on their Christian walk. They never washed their house. They've never done any of those types of things. They've never read their Bible. They've never prayed. They've never done the basic necessities to the Christian life. Talking with God. And listen to me, you're not going to have a good walk with God if you never talk with Him. You're never going to have a good walk with God if you're not reading His Word. There are many Christians not reading the Bible today. And do you understand when we don't read our Bible, the world tends to penetrate our life? Because why? We don't know what God's Word says. We don't know what to do or where to go or where to stay or what sin is sin if we're not reading the Word of God. We need maintenance in our life. And listen to me, if we're not having maintenance on our walk with God, when something goes wrong, we're broken. We break down on the side of the road. You don't want to be on the side of the road. This is why you have to routinely do maintenance. And listen to me, I want to ask you this question this morning. Are you maintaining your walk with God? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying to God? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you doing these things? These things we have to do in the Christian life. Listen to me, it's very, very important. And this is why I'm stressing it this much this morning. You've got to be reading the Word of God. In America, I think we're taking advantage of it. We have it so easily available. It's in hotels. It's everywhere. But we're not picking it up. We're not reading it. And listen to me, if God's so graciously given it to us, don't you think we should read it? Don't you think we should apply it to our life? Listen to me, Jimmy often says, it's not just about that we read it, that we experience it. You've got to apply the Word of God to your life. You have to. If you want a good godly walk with God, you have to be reading the Word of God. It's important, church. Let's Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 8. Just to give you a little bit of context. We're not reading the hard part of this chapter here, where it talks about obeying the authorities, obeying the government, paying your taxes. Right? We don't want to hear that, right? We don't want to hear about paying our taxes. But what really, ultimately, what Paul's talking about is paying debts. Make sure your debt is clear. Everything you owe to somebody, make sure that you pay it all back. And listen, this is what he says in verse 8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command that there may be, all summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Listen to me, church. We need to love. If you want to maintain your Christian life, you've got to love. You'll not be in a good place in your Christian life if you're not loving your neighbor. Paul is basically just saying the words of Jesus when they asked him, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is so, so important, church. It's the fulfillment of all the law. All the law can be summed up in love. And listen to me, we can do many things in this church. We can do the meal ministry, we can do the men's house, we can do the women's life house, kids house, all the things that God gives us. And listen to me, if we do not love, they are nothing. A resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, they mean nothing if we do not love. If you want to have a good godly walk, you've got to be loving. You have to love. Without love, everything is nothing. This is what Paul talks about. We've got to be loved. We have to be loving, church. I can't stress this enough today, this morning. You have to love, even when it's hard. This is why Jesus says, love your enemies. Can I tell you, if you don't love, you're going to have a hard time sharing the gospel. If you don't love people that look just like you, you're going to have a hard time sharing the gospel. And can I tell you, that's one of the most important things we ought to do as believers in Christ. We ought to share the gospel. We've got to love. Verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has already come, for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Listen to me, church, it's time to wake up. This is what Paul says. It's time to wake up. Why? Because our salvation is nearer every day. Can I tell you, Jesus Christ is closer to come today than he was yesterday. That's important to understand. Why? Because we have to share the gospel. You have to be urgent in sharing the gospel. Because listen to me, when Jesus Christ comes, it's done. Your brother and sister who don't believe, when Jesus Christ comes, it's done. We have to be urgent in sharing the gospel. We have to love like we've never loved before. We have to wake up, church. Why are churches not filled? Why are churches not filled this morning? We're not sharing the gospel. We're not inviting people to the blessed hope. We're not sharing the consequences of sin anymore. Did you hear what I said, church? We're not sharing the consequences of sin anymore. And we're all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. And we ought to know, as believers in Christ, the devastation of sin. But wow, should we know the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That He's given you everlasting life. When's the last time you've shared the gospel? When's the last time you shared your testimony with somebody? When's the last time you shared what Jesus Christ has actually done in your life? Listen to me, church. It is time to wake up and show the people the light inside of you. What does he say here? He says, the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. He says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The armor of light. That's Jesus Christ. We ought to be showing people the light of Christ inside of us. Let us put off the deeds of the darkness. There's too many Christians today living in deeds of darkness, living in darkness, not remembering the light of Jesus Christ in their life. We ought to show it every single day. Put on the armor of light. And can I tell you, you can't do that with sin in your life. The armor won't fit with sin in your life. You've got to be talking with the Father. You got to be maintaining your Christian life. And listen to me when I tell you, church, we have to be maintaining it. Can I tell you, maintenance is hard? The routine of it can get difficult. But it's important that we do it every day. Are you praying every day? It's a reflective message, church. Are you praying every day? Are you asking God to intercede for your friends and your family? Are you reading the wonderful Word of God every day? Are you asking God what He wants in your life? Every day. That's hard. But can I tell you, it's not impossible with Jesus Christ. When you allow Jesus Christ to put the armor of light on you, it's a little bit easier. Let's move on. It says, let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissensions and jealousy. Listen to me, church. Sin hinders our walk with God. Simple as that. Sin hinders our walk with God. You can't do the will of God with sin in your life. It's like putting mud in the gas tank of your vehicle. Can I tell you, I'm going to promise you something. If you put mud in the gas tank of your vehicle, it's not going to go anywhere. And that's the same thing with sin in your life. You think you can just keep putting sin upon sin upon sin in your walk with God? Can I tell you, you will not go anywhere. You won't make it anywhere. This is why the Bible tells us to confess our sins. So that we're always ready to share the light of Christ. So we're always willing. This is why it says, let us behave decently. You know, as Christians, we're supposed to behave decently. It says, as in the daytime. Not very many Christians are behaving decently in the world today. As many times, I can't tell anymore. Is that a believer or not? It's a hard message, church. I hope we're asking God every day to expose the sin of my life. That's not an easy thing, and it can hurt sometimes. You can lose some things sometimes. But listen to me, it is so important. This is why David prays, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me into the everlasting. Can I tell you, you can only do that with Jesus Christ? This is so important. We're supposed to be completely different from the world. But see, there's Christians today carousing, they're in drunkenness, sexual morality, debauchery, dissensions, jealousies, and the like. We've got to be completely different, set apart, holy. Not easy. But we're called to do it. Verse 14. It says, rather clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. I'll read it again, church. Listen closely. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. We shouldn't be thinking about how I can please my flesh. We shouldn't be thinking on how we should... how to please our desires and on those sinful things in our life. Rather, we should be asking God what He wants for my life. We should be talking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit rather than in the flesh. Listen to me. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. We ought to clothe ourselves with Christ. No sin when you clothe yourself with Christ. There's no sin when you clothe yourself with Christ. If you want to maintain your Christian walk, listen, you've got to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. You've got to walk like He walked. You've got to live like He lived. You've got to be humble like He was humble. You've got to talk in truth like He talked in truth. You've got to imitate Christ. You'll be in a bad spot if you're not. I don't want anybody to be in a bad spot. Listen to me, the church is powerful when we're walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Your life is in the right place when you're walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Don't gratify your flesh, because listen to me, church, this is important. One sin can derail your whole life. Can we testify to that this morning? One sin can derail your whole life. You could be walking with God so well, but you sin that one time, that one big sin of your life, and it derails your whole life. There's some of us there today. That one sin just keeps derailing your life. I don't know what it is in your life, but maybe there's that one sin that you can't quite break. Can I tell you, you haven't probably given it to Jesus Christ. You haven't probably given it to Jesus Christ. Listen, that's so important. Sin can derail your life. But listen to me, there's hope in Jesus Christ. There's a blessed hope. He can put the train back on the track. Amen? Amen, church. Has He done that in your life? When you've asked Him for forgiveness, why is He so willing to forgive? There's no one like Him, church. There's no one like Jesus Christ who forgives our sins and our transgressions, who's healed our life, washed it as white as snow, church. Trust in Him. Know that the Christian life is not a boring life. When I look back at my sinful life, can I tell you, that was a boring life. That was an unfulfilled life. I always look back, wow, did so many different things. Crazy things. But living in Jesus Christ was always so much better. It's always better to live for Jesus Christ. The world will make sin look so good. The devil will make sin look so good in your life that it makes Christianity, it makes being a Christian look boring. Can I tell you, that's a lie from the devil? There's no greater joy to put your hope in Jesus Christ. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. There's no greater joy than to put your hope in Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. I hope we're understanding this morning of our walk with God. Verse 9. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge and His will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Listen to me, church. If you want to maintain your walk, you've got to pray. You've got to pray, and you've got to pray, and you've got to pray. And this is why Paul says, for this reason, we heard about you. We have not stopped praying for you. We've got to pray for ourselves. We've got to pray for others. We've got to pray for our families. We've got to pray for the stranger on the street. We've got to continue to pray. If you want to maintain your walk with God, you've got to be praying. It says we continually ask God to fill you with knowledge. You've got to be reading your word. I've already said it, church. Pray, pray, pray. Read the word of God. If you want to know the knowledge of His will and through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, listen to me, church. You've got to be reading the word of God. He gives all knowledge and understanding. If you've been lost in your life, have you even attempted to read the word of God? There's so much knowledge and understanding and wisdom in here. Trust in the Holy Spirit, church. Trust in the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Listen to me, church. If you want to maintain your walk with God, you've got to trust in the strength of God. You can't trust in your own strength. Your strength will lead you astray. It won't be enough, but trust in the strength of God. What does it say here? It says, to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. Wow, just Christians need great endurance and patience in their life. And listen to when I tell you, you can only get that with the strength of God. The mighty hand of God can only give you the strength to have great endurance and patience in your life. And listen to me, hardships and troubles in your life will always come. But when you trust in the strength of God, he'll see you through. God never leaves us there. Trust in the strength and power of God. I don't think Christians understand that quite fully, of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside you. You have the strength of God inside you, and all you've got to do is be willing to trust in him. Trust in the Holy Spirit to give you the strength. If you want to maintain your walk and you're not trusting in the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have a good walk in your life. You've got to trust in the Holy Spirit. He's so graciously offered. The Word of God, he so offers it. This great treasure in jars of clay. Who's he talking about? He's talking about us. We're the jars of clay. Why? Because our frail, fragile bodies. God don't have a frail, fragile body. But he's given us this power. The power, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We have that power. Wow, he's so amazing. He says, I'm leaving you with something. I'm leaving you with a helper, an encourager. I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. You've got to be talking with God. You've got to trust in the strength of God. Because listen to me, you've got to be able to endure. There's a lot of broken Christians just staying at home. There's a lot of broken Christians just suffering from depression and the hardness of life. And listen to me. God doesn't want us to be there. God doesn't want you to be secluded in your homes. He wants you to go. That's the Great Commission. To go and make disciples. Baptizing. Teaching the things that Jesus taught. We're not doing that. I pray some of us are, but many Christians aren't. Many Christians aren't. Verse 12. Listen closely, church. It says, in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. I'll read it again, church, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Why should you maintain your Christian walk? Because you should be giving thanks to God for what he's done. He has rescued us. He has given us redemption. He has given us the forgiveness of sins. Wow, we didn't deserve it. Wow, he's so amazing. Wow, he's the God. He is God. Wow, he is God. In whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins, church. Give thanks, church. Give thanks. How do you maintain your walk? Give thanks. Every now and then, throw up a hand. Throw up two hands. Shout to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just for who he is. Even if something's not going right in your life, can I tell you can have a good walk with God if you just lift up your hands to him. If you just shout to the Lord. We need more Christians giving thanks to God. Can I tell you the praise of the people of God moves the hand of God? When we praise God, when we glorify God, when we sing to God. I was just thinking about that while we were singing. Not just this church, but churches all across America and other parts of the world, all singing to God today. Glorifying God. Shouting to God. Testifying about God. praising His holy name. That's amazing to me, church. But can I tell you that can only be done through Jesus Christ? We should be giving thanks every day. There's no one like God. He is the Almighty God who has redeemed us and forgiven our sins. We're here today because of Jesus Christ. Your sins are washed away because Jesus Christ. You've been redeemed from the realm of the dead because Jesus Christ. Never forget that, church. Never forget you've been redeemed. Never forget that your sins have been forgiven. Never forget the promises of God. Never forget that you're almost home. Never forget that this is only a foreign land. Never forget this, church. Never forget the awesomeness of God. Never forget that God is wonderful. Amen, church. Amen. Give thanks. I'll say it again. Give thanks. How do we maintain our walk with God? I'll say it again. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to seek the wisdom of God. You've got to seek His understanding. You've got to trust in the Holy Spirit. And you've got to give thanks. I think Paul was such a good example of this. Where he says in Philippians, I've learned to be content. Whether he's hungry or fed, whether he's been beaten or not. Can I tell you, you can have a good walk with God even in the lowliest moments, even in the hardest moments of your life. And I know there are some of you today going through some pretty hard stuff. Stuff that I might not even be able to imagine. Anguish, turmoil in your heads. I don't know what you guys are going through. But can I tell you, God does. Jesus Christ does. And when you put your hope and your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, He'll always answer you. Wow, what a promise. I read it in the Psalm. I call to You and You answer me. What a wonderful Savior that we can talk to, that we can ask, and He listens to us. I don't know what you're going through in your life, but I know the one that can help you. We all need maintenance in our life. But listen to me when I tell you, church, listen to me closely. There's some of you today that don't even have a car. And I ain't talking about physically. Some of you today don't even have the car to maintain. Well, what do I mean? You don't have salvation. You might think you do, but you don't. You might think because coming to church for 10, 5 years of your life means that you're good. That doesn't mean you're good. You've got to have the Son of God. You've got to be a believer. You've got to trust in God. And He says He's faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He gives us His righteousness. And we're co-heirs with Him, adopted into the family of God. An inheritance. That's an amazing thing, church. You get to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. You don't get to go to heaven because of the good things you did. You don't get to go to heaven because you helped somebody one time, or two times, or 60 times. You get to heaven through Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. So don't let someone say, I'm a good person. I'll get there. Because you don't get there from being a good person. You get there from the one who is perfect, who's the perfect Lamb of God, and His name is Jesus Christ. Do you even have a car? That's the first step, church, to maintaining your walk with God, is you got to have the car. You actually have to have God in your life. There's a lot of Christians broken down on the side of the road. Are you there? Are you broken down on the side of the road? not knowing where to go, not knowing where to turn to. Turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to the one that's the author of life, who's made all things and knows the number of hairs on your head, who knows all things and says, come. Come and I'll give you rest. And listen to me, I'm going to piggyback off what Jimmy said on Wednesday. I wish you guys, some of you could have been here. That was a great message on Wednesday. You've got to bear good fruit. When you maintain a good godly walk, you're going to bear good fruit. You're going to bear much fruit. And that's what God calls us to do, to bear much fruit. But listen to me, when sin is in your life, when you're living in sin, when you're not reading your Bible, when you're not praying, when you're not doing the basic things we ought to do as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not bearing good fruit. We're not bearing good fruit. Let's stand, church.